at CHI Files, the Ultimate Bears Podcast with Nate Lundy.
Welcome into the podcast. My name is Nate Lundy. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. A lot on tap for the podcast this week as we kick things off. We'll get to our big interview in just a moment. Talk about the big storylines as training camp and the preseason are underway and the start of the regular season is just a couple of weeks away. Plus, we'll do Around the League with the coach, Brian Billick from NFL Network, as we will every week, a chance to visit with the coach. And we'll close things out this week's podcast with Overtime, a six pack of questions. This week's guest, Andrew Siciliano of the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. But it all gets started with the big interview next.
The big interview.
We continue now with the big interview, and to talk about the Bears, we talk to the editor at Windy City Gridiron. You find him on Twitter at Wiltfong Jr. That's J-R. It's Lester Wiltfong Jr. to talk Bears with us. Lester, let's start here as the preseason is underway. What grade at this point would you give what you've seen out of the Bears? Let's do a grade for the offense and a grade for the defense.
I'd have to go see both. I mean, it's really nothing special so far. I mean, the offense really struggled the first game, you know, the starting offense that is, and the second game against the Patriots, they looked solid. I mean, you know, so averaging the two out, you got to go to see, and the defense has been about average both games. You know, they've kind of, you know, haven't really been doing too much stuff. It's kind of really vanilla with what they're doing. They're, you know, not doing too much with the blitz packages, but they're just trying to get their players through and healthy to the regular season. So I'll go C for both.
All right. As you look at Jay Cutler, I think that if we step back to when he joined the Bears in 2009, I think at some point Bears fans probably expected at least one of those seasons where the numbers would throw him into an MVP kind of conversation, or at least where, you know, his skill set would take him. Is this finally the year that he might be able to do that after having a pretty solid campaign?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he had gone out and had one of his best years ever. I mean, if you look at his passer rating throughout his career, his best one was last year. The three best of his career have been in the last 3 years. So, I mean, you'd have to say he is trending upward. I mean, he is in his early 30s now. The thing with Jay Cutler is when he was first, acquired by the Bears, everyone expected they were going to get the Pro Bowl Jay Cutler that was just going to come in and be the next Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady type of guy. And I've come to the conclusion, you know, a while ago, that's just not who he is. I mean, he's a very good quarterback. He's very talented, but he's going to just do some really silly things at times. And that's who he has been through his whole career. If you look at his numbers, he's always been average. He's always been kind of in the middle of the pack there as far as passer rating goes overall. So, I mean, he is what he is. I mean, he's an average quarterback. He can be really good at times. He seems to have that clutch gene where if the game's close, he seems to be able to do pretty good in the fourth quarter. He has, one of the leaders in fourth quarter comebacks, you know, through the last 4 or 5 years. So he's got that going for him. But again, he'll do something silly like throw an interception to a defensive lineman in the first quarter. So you take the good, you take the bad with Jay Cutler, and that's what you have. But if the team is good around him, I think he'll be fine.
He's with WindyCityGridiron.com, where he's the editor. He's also on Twitter at Wiltfong Jr., J-R. If you want to follow Lester Wiltfong on Twitter, you can do that. Lester, let me follow up on that question about about Jay Cutler with Adam Gase. How much of his resurgence last year do you think was Gase, and is that a concern with Adam now being down in Miami?
You know, I think that was part of it, you know, but, you know, with Adam Gase also came Dowell Logans, who was the quarterback coach last year. He's a guy that has a relationship with Jay Cutler from their time. You know, they knew each other from when he was in college. So this is a guy that Jay Cutler has known for a while now. Last year he came in as a quarterback coach. This year he's taken over as the offensive coordinator. So keeping that intact, keeping the system basically in place, you know, you hear a lot about how Adam Gase is offense, but, you know, he really was running John Fox's stuff. You know, if John Fox is a conservative coach, he wants to really pound the ball in the run game and do a lot of play action, and that's really what the Bears did last year. So it was Adam Gase actually making the play calls, but the system is still intact, the terminology is still intact, so it's not like he has to learn a whole new offense again. So I think that part of it's going to help Jay Cutler.
As you look at Kevin White finally being healthy after missing his just entire rookie season last year, it appears the clear number two behind Alshon Jeffery. What would you say would be a solid and successful stat line for him in what's going to be his first year in the NFL?
You know, I think somewhere around 50, 60 catches would be great. I think the Bears were really pleased with that. You know, the Bears lost Martellus Bennett at tight end. They lost Matt Forte at running back, two guys who had a lot of receptions in the last few years. So, you know, there are some plays to be made out there. And if it's not Alshon Jeffrey who's going to be the number one, it's going to be Kevin White making those plays. So, you know, 50, 60 catches, maybe, you know, 5, 6, you know, maybe even 700 yards receiving. But he hasn't really done too much in two preseason games, but throughout training camp and OTAs and the practice with the Patriots, you know, he's looked like the real deal. So the Bears may have a real gem there in Kevin White.
I know that it's almost like it's his rookie season, but let's talk about the actual rookies. If you look at the top three draft choices for the Bears, Lester, if you had to pick one that you think is going to have the most immediate impact, who would it be?
Probably Cody Whitehair. He's starting at left guard for the Bears. Through two preseason games, he's looked really good. The Bears plugged him in there because he's a real athletic guy. The Bears are going to do more zone blocking this year, and through two games, he's really been able to get to the second level and get some good seal blocks there. So they're excited for him. He looks like he could be the starter there for the next 10 years.
When you look at the offensive line, let's talk about Kyle Long. He's been dealing with an injury, and honestly, it kind of feels like John Fox has been a little coy with how he wants to refer to the severity of it. From what you're hearing or from what you've seen, do we have an idea of how severe this is, or is he going to be ready for week one?
Well, the good thing is, you know, he hasn't practiced all week, but the good thing is he has been at practice. He's doing some work on the side. So it's not like they want to shut him down completely. He's still getting some conditioning in. He's trying to do some stuff and what he can do out there. But until we hear something from the doctors officially, it's hard to say with John Fox. He's very very cryptic with what he wants to give the media as far as injury stuff go. But I would think if it was something more severe, they'd want to get him, you know, in the operating room as soon as possible and get that taken care of, because this is a guy that's going to be you know, the best lineman on the team.
Lester, as we look at the defensive side of the ball here, Kyle Fuller, is this the season that he finally puts it all together, or are you still seeing some of those mental mistakes that have plagued him before?
Well, I think this is probably his make-or-break year. I mean, the bad thing about Kyle Fuller is he has a little knee injury he hurt in the first preseason game, so the Bears actually shut him down. He's not going to play the rest of the preseason. He hasn't really been practicing much. They want that knee to rest. He had a knee scope right after that game to kind of to go in there and take a look at things. So they said it wasn't too severe. They said he may be back for week one. If that's the case, he just has to come out and he has to play up to that draft status. The problem with him is he was picked when the Bears were running a more of a zone-based defense. Now with John Fox, Vic Fangio, they're running more press man-to-man, and that's not really his strong suit. He does have the athleticism and the speed to do it. He just has to go out there and prove it on Sundays.
Lester, we know that no team's fans are patient, but given the fact that I've got family in Chicago, I know for a fact that Bears fans are definitely not patient. So a 6-10 season is not going to sit well with them. Being in the cellar of the NFC North isn't going to sit well. But given the circumstances on the team right now, what is going to be considered a success come January when you look back at the regular season record?
You know, I think with the Bears, they have to show improvement. You know, if they are a 6-win or a 5-win team, it's not going to cut it like you said. They gotta, you know, I have them pushing for a playoff spot. That's my prediction for this team. I don't think they'll get there. I think they'll probably finish around 500 on the season. But if they're hovering around 8-9 wins, I think that's going to be good for Bears fans as long as they're showing improvement, because, you know, they're playing in a tough NFC North. The Packers are going to be good. The Vikings are going to be good. So it's going to be a real tough division to win anyway.
As of the time that we're recording this, there's a couple of preseason games left, obviously, for them. And as you get ready to watch those, Lester, what's the one thing you're still waiting to see out of this team?
Probably consistent play from the offensive line. The starters are okay, but, you know, the depth of the O-line really scares me. And then when you look over on the defensive side of the ball, we talk about Kyle Fuller being out. You know, right now they're having a lot of injuries in that secondary with Fuller, with Bryce Callen, who's their primary nickelback. Jacoby Glenn is their one of their backup corners. He's also out, so you may have a rookie going back there at corner in DeAndre Hall. So you got to hope someone in the secondary can step up and prove that they're worthy of being out there.
He's the editor at WindyCityGridiron.com. You find him on Twitter at Wiltfong Jr., J-R. It's Lester Wiltfong Jr., our guest on the podcast this week to catch up about the Bears. Lester, appreciate the time. Thank you.
Sure, no problem. Anytime.
Stick around. We got the coach, Brian Billick, coming up next.
Around the League.
It is time for us to go around the league, and as we will do each week throughout the season, we're joined from the NFL Network. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick. It is the Coach Brian Billick. And first of all, Coach, how's your offseason been?
It's been great. As usual, too short. But it's time for football, so we'll crank this thing up.
It always feels like it's too short. Let's talk about some of the stories from the offseason and even from training camp and beyond. A few interesting quarterback moves, so let's start here. First of all, what's your assessment of the Broncos quarterback situation and the decision Gary Kubiak's having to make?
Well, anytime you take a quarterback in the first round, obviously L.A. doing it with Jared Goff and then Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and then Paxton Lynch in Denver. At some point, you've got to know these guys are going to start. I mean, since the, Aaron Rodgers did it in 2005, and he's the poster child for those that say, okay, you shouldn't start a quarterback, let him sit in and learn behind somebody else. Well, with all due respect, he sat in behind Brett Favre. That's a Hall of Famer. And Carson Wentz and Jared Goff and Paxton Lynch, they're not sitting behind Hall of Fame. In my opinion, they ought to play. And it sounds like Paxton Lynch, particularly with a team like Denver, that's going to pack a great defense. They anticipate running the ball well. Why would you not start him?
And then when you go from Denver, let's stay in the West. Let's go to the NFC West. What about what Chip Kelly is dealing with in San Francisco with Gabbert, with Kaepernick? It feels like it's a very odd situation that he's trying to decide who his quarterback for 2016 is going to be.
Yeah, you know, look, the old adage is if you have two or three quarterbacks, you have no quarterback. I mean, it should be very clear-cut. And he may have already decided. I think there's still an upside for Colin Kaepernick. We'll see how he fits into the Chip Kelly system. You'd think it would be fabulous. Blaine Gabbert, I think we've seen, is a backup, a good, solid backup in this league. I don't know that you're going to be a championship-caliber club. Colin Kaepernick still has a little of that upside. But the hard thing will be that this roster is not a great roster right now. It's not a great defense. You know, you hope that Carlos Hyde can stay healthy and run the ball. The receiving core, they have some potential there, but I don't know they have the absolute go-to guy, and that includes their tight ends. Vance McDonald is kind of pedestrian. So I think the group that he's going to be working with, along with the defense that's clearly having to rebuild, I think there's going to be some challenges for Chip in San Francisco.
What about a positive quarterback story, at least from what we've seen in the preseason so far, and that's Robert Griffin III in Cleveland. A lot of folks feel like maybe we're starting to see the RG3 that we saw at the very beginning in Washington.
Well, you hope so, because obviously this guy has a lot of talent. If he can stay healthy, and that's a big if. That's something obviously everybody's going to watch to see, because they keep saying, we're going to let Robert Griffin be Robert Griffin. Well, when Robert Griffin was Robert Griffin, when he was RG3, he got hurt. And so I'm looking for a guy that can he beat you from the pocket? Yeah, can he do the things outside? He's got potentially, and I'm hesitant to use that word because the old adage is in coaching, son, your potential is going to get me fired. But if there's some potential, it looks like Terrell Pryor has some upside in terms of the receiver. If indeed Josh Gordon can come back and be solid for them, if they can get that running game cranked up, then that's going to complement RG3 and give them a chance, obviously, to piece this thing together. And I don't think anybody expects them to be a playoff team, but they can be a good, solid, competitive team.
The buzz down in Dallas is, of course, all about Dak Prescott, and we know it's a limited sample size of preseason, but what were your thoughts on Prescott going into the draft, and are they coming to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at Dak Prescott, this is different than the first-round conversation, which is good. Because for the Dallas Cowboys, obviously with Tony Romo, it's all about keeping Tony Romo healthy. But if you can get and reach down into the fourth round like they did for Dak Prescott, this is a talented guy. A lot of people will equate his game a little bit in terms of Russell Wilson. Now, you say that, and people go, oh, boy, well, this guy needs to be your starter. I'm just saying that he's a later draft choice that's showing some potential. I did see an interesting comment from him in talking about how He feels like he's ready for whatever the NFL is going to throw at him, whether it's a vanilla defense or, as he said, a rocky road defense. I think I'm ready. Well, let's hold on that. I prefer to have a rookie quarterback know just enough to be afraid, because I love the bravado, but the difference that he'll see in the regular season versus the preseason, notwithstanding Tony Romo staying healthy, but obviously for Dallas, they've got the best of both worlds. If indeed he can be a serviceable backup, get a young quarterback that they can develop, you couldn't ask for more than your backup quarter in your backup quarter position.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. You find him on Twitter, at Coach Billick, as we go around the league. Coach, let's talk about a couple of coaching changes. How do you think the young Adam Gase, and I always wind up feeling older when I see a head coach who's 30, but nonetheless, a young Adam Gase, how do you think he'll do in Miami?
Well, he's got it set up to do very well. I mean, he was brought in. He's the current quarterback whisperer. So he's going to come in, and Tannehill is going to be that next protege, that next quarterback. Indeed, can he transform this guy who's had a solid beginning in his career? That's how it's going to be judged, because the expectations in Miami are very high in terms of what they think they can do. Obviously, in that division, it's all about, can you supplant New England? I don't know if they're good enough to do that. So the next question is, are they good enough to be a wild card team? And that's a tall order in the AFC.
What about Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? What's your assessment of Peterson?
Well, he certainly brings the right pedigree in terms of having been a former player, being a part of successful teams with Andy Reid. He's certainly in a familiar situation. Let's go back and remember that Doug Peterson was brought in to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles in Andy Reid's first year in 1999. To basically hold down the spot until Donovan McNabb could eventually take it over, which he did middle to late season. Now, that was a 5-11 team. He now is sitting on a team where he's got a couple quarterbacks, more than a couple. Sam Bradford, obviously, they paid all that money to. They went out and moved up and used a lot of assets to go get Carson Wentz. But I was up at their training camp, early in training camp, and had a chance to visit with Coach Peterson, and he and Howie Roseman, the general manager, seemed wholly committed to Carson Wentz not playing this year. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. As I said, since Aaron Rodgers took over or was drafted back in 2005, 29 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round, and only a handful have not played in the first year. Only four, to be exact: Aaron Rodgers, Jason Campbell, Brady Quinn, and Jake Locker. Now, that's not an impressive list outside of Rodgers. So those that want to make the camp, well, maybe you shouldn't play your quarterback in the first year, hasn't turned out real well. So we're going to find out if Doug Peterson wants to emulate what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles and just kind of be a placeholder until they can get Carson Wentz into the starting lineup.
As you look at the NFL over the course of the last year, certainly the last 8 or 9 months, Coach, we've seen, whether it's the Al Jazeera report, we've seen Deflategate, we've seen a number of things going on. Are we in jeopardy at all with the league of Roger Goodell, any of the decisions or anything that he's doing? Is it starting to hurt the image of the league when it comes to the fans?
Well, I don't think so, particularly when we're talking, talking out of both sides of the mouth when the media wants to say, well, is Roger Goodell too tough? Is he too authoritarian, as the players and the union will say? But by the same token, the NFL can't suffer these black eyes. He's got to get it under control. And that's really what it's going to come down to. We just saw the recent situation in the Olympics with Ryan Lochte. And how it's so often it's not the act itself, it's the cover-up or the lack of taking responsibility for it that is much, much more difficult. And that's what Roger Goodell and the league are trying to do, to make sure that these players understand there's going to be an accountability. There's a red line in the sand. And if you cross it, you're going to be held accountable for it.
The coach, Brian Billick, with us. Last one for you, Coach. Give me a team that is going to surprise us, and it could be a team that we think isn't going to be very good, who's going to be better than expected, or a team that has high expectations that's going to underachieve.
Wow. Well, let's go with the positive on that. And you know, when we talk about this and the work I do for the NFL Network, we're at that time of year where everybody wants to talk about that same thing about who are the teams that are going to surprise us. And the criteria is, okay, let's begin with the teams that weren't in the playoffs last year.
Right.
Because obviously you got to see what the Carolina Panthers do. Washington Redskins, who I think are going to be pretty good. Can they get back in the playoffs? But a team that clearly needs to do well for their coach, but I think his position could be pretty good, is Jacksonville. Now, they need to be good because obviously Gus Bradley's only got 10 or 11 wins, 12 wins over the last 3 years. But you've got to love, at least in the preseason and certainly in the third year, Blake Bortles seems ready, along with, you know, that great receiving core with Allen Robinson Alan Hearn. The tight end position is a solid one with Mercedes Lewis. Julius Thomas, who they brought in last year in free agency, could step up and have a big year for them. And obviously in the running game, getting Chris Ivory to go with DJ Yeldon. They're going to have some offensive weapons. And, of course, Gus Bradley went out and drafted a bunch of defensive guys who they're going to play. They don't have to be great defense, but they got to be better. This could be a team in the AFC South that really could be wide open that makes their way into the playoffs.
And they're benefited, Coach, aren't they, by the division that they're in? Sometimes the geography around you benefits you that there isn't like a Patriots or a Carolina Panthers type team that they're trying to climb over either.
Yeah, and I regrettably, we always will start the season off and, okay, what coaches are on the hot seat? And well, that division's on the hot seat because every single one of those coaches, whether it be Chuck Pagano in Indianapolis, the expectations with a healthy Ryan Leaf, whether down on Mike Mularkey, all but a first year. You go, how can a first-year coach be on the hot seat? Well, let's remember what happened in Jacksonville, where he went 1 year and got fired. The expectations that Marcus Mariota is going to be better. And obviously down in Houston, they went out and spent the big money on a quarterback that the Denver Broncos said they didn't want to spend the money on, and Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler's got to come through for Billy O'Brien, or it could be, you know, could be a problem for him. So I think that whole division of coaches is on a hot.
I say it every single year. You're a smarter football fan if you spend some time with the coach, Brian Billick. He's on Twitter, at Coach Billick. Coach, look forward to visiting with you again throughout the season. Thanks for the time.
Sounds great. It'll be fun.
Coming up next, it will be time for Overtime, a six-pack of questions, rapid-fire style, with the NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Overtime is next.
Overtime.
It is time for Overtime. That means we got a six-pack of questions, because what else do you do during overtime but make another trip to the bar and grab a six-pack so that you can enjoy it? This week, our guest in Overtime from the NFL Network is Andrew Siciliano. Andrew, how are you?
Nate, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. You ready for a six-pack of questions here?
Are they alcohol-free?
Well, they are alcohol-free, just in case you've got to go in front of the camera here in a moment.
Good.
All right.
Double check. Go ahead.
Let's start here. Question number one. Which rookie quarterback is going to start first, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, or Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch.
And why is that?
Jared Goff might be my other answer. I think it, no doubt Case Keenum is going to be the starting quarterback for the Rams out of the gate. They have two difficult division games right out of the gate, so you're not going to see Goff, I don't think, in September. Paxton Lynch, as of our taping, Nate, still has a shot, if he performs well in week three of the preseason, to get the starting job, as absurd as that sounded a couple of weeks ago. And I think Paxton Lynch very well could be the two behind Trevor Siemian. And Trevor Siemian, somewhat unproven. That would put Paxton Lynch in a great position.
All right. Question number two. Do you think Ezekiel Elliott is going to break Tony Dorsett's 1977 rookie rushing record for the Cowboys of 1,007 yards?
Yes.
In what week?
Well, you need to average 66 yards, roughly, I believe, or 65 or something like that, a week to get to 1,000. So do the math. I say he looks like a 1,200-yard back.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm with you on that one. All right, question number three. Do you think that Tom Brady's suspension is going to mean the end of the Patriots' run at the top of the AFC East?
Absolutely not. Call me except in December when they win the division.
All right, question number four. Will this intriguing Jacksonville Jaguars team, led by a defense they've been rebuilding, do you think they make the playoffs?
Ooh. I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say they make a run for it and look like a 9-7 team. I'm still not entirely sold, but I'm excited. When the schedule came out in April, I said Green Bay on the road week one at Jacksonville was your sneaky good game of September.
As you look at Cleveland, are we seeing the resurrection of Robert Griffin III?
Yes. The question is, how long will the life be once resurrected? He certainly looks good in the preseason. It is still the preseason. Pump your brakes, Dak Prescott fans. RG3 has proven he could play and win in this league. Can he do it as a drop-back passer? Can Hugh Jackson truly, truly give him sustained success? I don't know. I mean, the right side of it off, well, right tackle is an issue. They have some weapons offensively, but blocking and tackling still will be an issue, which doesn't always bode well for the quarterback. Don't be shocked if they are in the number one overall discussion next year. Maybe not at number one, but at least trying to trade up to get a certain quarterback from the ACC, who for the time being shall remain nameless because he's an underclassman.
Let me do a follow-up to question number five. Do you think RG3 ever makes it back to the Pro Bowl?
Well, Teddy Bridgewater made the Pro Bowl last year, and I like Teddy, but he only had like 14 touchdown passes. The way people drop out of the Pro Bowl, I'll never say never for anybody making the Pro Bowl.
All right, last question from our six-pack in overtime with NFL Network's Andrew Siciliano. Do you believe by this time next year we will be referring to the Las Vegas Raiders?
I would say, because it's Vegas and we're playing the odds, that it is slightly better than 50-50 that we will. However, never underestimate the likelihood of an iconic franchise staying home with a last-second deal.
I have said that I'd never want to see a city lose their team, but given that I'm in Denver with the AFC West, it could be kind of fun with the Raiders in Vegas. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Nate, a man of your fame and your needs, you know, I can't imagine that you need a Raiders game to hop on a $79 one-way flight to Vegas.
As long as you're going to meet me there. It's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, part of Overtime with our six-pack of questions for this week. Andrew, thanks.
Yes, sir.
And there you have it. That's how the overtime works, a six-pack of questions for a different analyst each week. And it also wraps up our podcast for this week. Thanks for being a part of it. We'll talk to you soon.
This has been a Sports Joe production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsjoe.com.